Hello people, hi, welcome to the Adia Talks podcast. I'm so glad you stopped by. Today we are back on our She Wins series, so I'm super duper excited to share this series with you once again. We've had a couple of episodes released, so go back and listen to them. But our She Wins series basically is where we just share stories from winning women, or winning stories from women, but it's just with sharing stories of different things, you know, coming from different angles, and how people have, you know, taken their walk of faith, and just sharing their wins in life, basically, through their faith. So we have today a really special guest. It's her first time on the podcast, but we've certainly known each other for a couple of years, done a few things here and there together. A fantastic story. I really enjoyed doing this interview with her. A lot of stuff I didn't even know about her, and I know you're gonna thoroughly enjoy it, and you will probably get a few things from what she says, and things she'd probably help you with, you know, following up and taking things forward. But we're gonna be speaking to Natasha T. Brown, and the title of this She Wins this episode specifically is Winning Through Missions. So sit tight, grab your drink, your water, your tea, your notebook and pen. Who knows, the Lord may speak to you. And yes, let us have our discussion with Natasha T. Brown. All right, thank you.
Hello. Hi, Natasha.
Hi, Mo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Welcome to the Adia Talks podcast. Welcome to the She Wins series, and for being a special guest. Super excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm super honored to be on. I love your podcast.
Yay. So thank you so much. So we'll just start off with, I'm really excited about this because, guys, we'll talk about this in a bit more detail as we go through the conversation, but this is our second attempt at recording this podcast, because we did have it recorded. But maybe when we get into the detail, we'll talk about a little bit about the challenges we had, but we're now recording this live together. Kind of in different regions, but it's great to be able to have this conversation together. I have known Natasha for, I don't know if it's like 2 or 3 years, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we met, I know we met at Millions Conference, but I feel like we connected before that.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. On the internet, on Instagram or one of those social sites.
Yeah, I think maybe I found your podcast or something, the one you did with the prayer, the 10 Inch Blessings one, and then I think that was it. And then we connect, I discovered your company was doing something I was kind of interested in, and then I think we then met physically at Millions Conference in Dallas.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yep.
That's amazing. So do you want to tell us a bit about yourself, Natasha, and then we'll get into like our topic for today, because you're a woman of many things, so there are many things we could talk about, but if you want to tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. So I pretty much consider myself, and God has told me that I'm a communicator for Christ. And so under that, there are several different hats that I wear, author, best-selling author, a publisher, and I've been a ghostwriter, and also a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I do a lot of pretty much encouraging people. I am the founder and president of Elohai International Publishing and Media. And so it's a Christian media and missions firm. So we advance the kingdom of God through books, media, and missions. And I also am the founder of a domestic violence and sexual assault nonprofit organization called 10 Blessings Inspiration. And recently, our spiritual arm of 10 Blessings, it branched off into another sort of ministry, and it is called We Who Dwell. And the mission at We Who Dwell is to pretty much empower disciples of Christ to dwell in the presence of God through prayer, the word, and worship. So those are the main things that I do. I'm also a missionary. So I know we'll probably talk about that a lot, but I just came from the mission field for 6 months. And as a missionary, I serve as a theological educator at a Bible college.
Wow, that is like a resume, you know, like you're just like, wow, that's incredible. You're doing amazing things. And maybe before we go into like, you know, because what we're talking about is focusing on missions and what we're doing with She Wins is highlighting stories from winning women, you know, people winning for Christ and just, you know, things to encourage other people to like step out of the boat, walk on water, do that thing, you know, that you've maybe been, God's been, you know, pressing on your heart and all of that. And we'll get into the mission trip because that's so unique. There are not many people I personally know that have gone on mission trips. You know, so just want to understand like how that came about, your experience, because you're literally back, I think, maybe a week or so?
Yes, a week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're back a week. So just with all the stuff you do, being a communicator for Christ, like how did you sort of come to that sort of knowing of yourself, if that makes sense? Because I've personally, and I think other people have had this, or maybe they're in the phase, and we're always evolving, you know, because we're, you know, God is transforming us every day, and the whole goal is we're being more and more like Him, discovering more about Him and all of that. But you know, there comes a point where sometimes you know in life you get to sort of know, okay, this is what the Lord will have me do. This mm-hmm. is, you know, so being a communicator for Christ, you know, that kind of assurance mm-hmm. that, oh, this is, there comes a point that happens and that's a bit of a shift. And sometimes there's a bit of a, there may be a bit of, you might be a bit apprehensive about it sometimes. I know I've been for many years. I remember a certain thing I was or how He viewed me and how, and I just couldn't reconcile it because I never thought I was, you know, considered to be good enough or whatever for it. And that was for many, many, many years. He'd always remind me and tell me. And it just then, it's only more recently I sort of embraced it. But did you have that sort of struggle a little bit? Like, because you were like, God has told you you're a communicator for Christ. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, that is such an amazing and brilliant question. I don't know if anyone has ever asked me that before, but pretty much what happened was I was a communicator for the world all my life. So okay. I've been telling stories, writing books since I was a kid. I started marketing when I was 16 or 15 and like professional marketing at that point for realtors. And I'd been a publicist for, you know, hip hop artists and lawyers and all types of different people. I started my first company in 2010 yeah. and before 2009. And I branched off as a full-time entrepreneur in 2010. And so at that point, and even before then, I was in corporate marketing and communication. So I had always been in communications. And I thought, you know, the way that I pictured my life was, you know, being this big time communications executive at some, organization in New York. And actually I pursued it. You know, I wanted to move to New York and work at MTV and do all these things in corporate communications. However, when I was in 2012, I basically found myself in a really terrible relationship. And, you know, so can I tell that story right now? Because I think it sure. all leads up. Okay, so yeah, I found myself in a really terrible relationship. It ended up becoming extremely violent and abusive and toxic. Mm-hmm. And through that, of course, my business suffered, but I had a sort of a two-face. Like I was this professional entrepreneur, publicist in the Washington, D.C. area that everyone knew. And so I represented NFL and NBA athletes and hip hop artists mm-hmm. in public. And then, you know, also a lot of indie organizations and new nonprofits. Yeah. But in private, I was going through, you know, this really bad situation. And so bad turned into worse in 2014 when someone actually tried to murder my ex-boyfriend while I was there. They came out of nowhere, stabbed him with a knife 9 times. And I didn't know he was being stabbed because it was nighttime and it was also snowing outside. Yeah. So I got out of the car that I was in and I tried to break it up. And that turned into the worst nightmare, but also the greatest blessing of my life. From that, you know, I got him in the car, rushed him to the hospital, found out that he had been stabbed, and the police came and began to ask me questions. And, you know, after about 30 minutes, they actually arrested me. And I didn't know why. I was like, what is going on here? You know, I'm the one who was trying to help him. Well, yes. Come to find out, everybody who was out there, who they all were family, they pretty much set me up and also set him up. They knew that we were coming to where we were going. Yeah, it was crazy. So their plan was to kill him that night and to frame me for his murder. So I was framed for attempted murder. He actually made it. He lived and he told the truth. However, the attorneys, the prosecutors didn't believe him because we had been on record for domestic violence. Okay. I had been on record of accusing him of abuse. And so to them, it looked like I was simply, you know, this abused woman getting payback on her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So it was a mess. I fought for my life for 9 months. But during that time, and this is how I answer your question, during that time, I became very isolated. You know, I did not want to go anywhere, but I did want to get near God. So what I did was I joined the social media ministry of my church at the time, and I became like their social media manager, and I trained people on how to use social media. It was a mega church. So I was in charge of like the Twitter platform and the Instagram, well, not Instagram. I was in charge of Twitter and Facebook sometimes, and I would go to live events at the church and, you know, cover it via social media. And I just heard God whisper to me that you're a communicator for Christ now. And I was like, what? So at that point, I knew that God was really calling me to kind of stop being so focused on, you know, representing all of these other people and DJs and hip hop artists and all these things, but more so focus on him and communicating his truth and communicating the gospel. So I started to do that. And I was still bitter. I was, you know, still facing trial. And a few months later in September of that year, now that incident happened January 2nd of 2014. Fast forward, I'm serving the entire time at church. And in which month was it? September 22nd was my court date. So I found out that they were actually going to drop my case because I ended up got the blessing of the Lord. You guys, whoever's listening, get the book, 10 Blessings of Betrayal. You will be so blessed by this book. I wrote about all of this and just talk about how God really came through for me when it seemed hopeless. So anyway, they dropped my case, but I was still bitter and angry. And I began to pray to God, how could I get out of that place of just being angry and hateful and mad at the world? And he told me to write. And I was like, right, what? So I thought I was writing a hate letter, Mo. And really, he began to talk to me and share how he had delivered me from all of these issues that I had and how he had really blessed me in the midst of all of the betrayal and the things that I had gone through through that process. And so I wrote that book. And immediately when the book came out, on February 14th of 2015, people began to buy it, okay, and then read it. And it became a bestseller really quickly. But more importantly, what happened was people began to ask me, and when I say people, most of them were like ministers who I had went to school with or pastors who had been my mentor. They began to ask me to write for them and to help them write their story. So that is how I became a ghostwriter. And then from there, I realized, okay, well, I've ghostwritten all these books. 1 year, I ghost wrote in 2015, 10 books. The next year, the number had increased to like 15. And then it just kept getting higher. But God was like, no, you can't write everyone's book. So, so that's when the business sort of branched out to, you know, me coaching authors and consulting with them and publishing and to now, you know, where I am now.
Wow. That, you know, I always knew you were like a sort of, you know, with regards to like domestic violence, you and I think it's Tamika as well.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep.
Like, I knew both of you had, like, you know, organizations around domestic violence through experience, but I never knew, like, the full story. Mm-hmm. That is incredible. God is so good. Like, yeah. That, as you were saying, I'm very visual, so I was just seeing, I was like, this is like a movie. Wow, that is so incredible. And you've just held on, you know, with what God has said. And, you know, you sort of took that step of obedience of writing, you know, just your story. And just the letter you thought was like your therapy, if you like, which mm-hmm. became a book you published, which became people then approaching you to say, write my story for me. And then you sort of grown and developed from that. So I think sometimes as Christians, we, you know, we want God to bless us with something, but we don't. It's almost like a seed that needs to grow into the plant and then the tree or whatever. But we almost want the tree.
Yes.
Without understanding, it's just a simple step. So God, you know, you're asking God, God, I want to do this, I want this, I want this amazing business, I want this, and he's just like, just take some time out, just do that little thing, start being faithful with that little thing I told you to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So grow from there. So maybe switching gears a little bit, because as I say, there's a lot to talk about with you, but focusing on the mission trip you've just come back from, mm-hmm. You want to tell us sort of a bit about the trip, and then we can get into like how you came about, like even just discovering I need to go on this mission trip. Because I must say, before you even talk, it is a bold thing to do. I don't, as I say, I don't know. I think one of my best friends has been on a mission trip before, but that's the only person I know very well, like personally close to me, that's been on a mission trip. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Nigeria, so people would think, oh yeah, it'll be fine. But when I saw your mission, I was like, how are you even surviving? Because like, I know even Africa was completely different to like what I'm used to. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're even coming from a different culture and you're just adjusting instantly to everything and just embracing it all. So I just taking my hat off to you thinking this is really incredible. But how did you find the trip you've recently come back, so you obviously it's all still fresh, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the way that this came about, oh my goodness, I was in seminary, so I recently graduated in August from a Master of Divinity program. And while I was there, the Lord just really began, you know, it's so funny because it's an online school. Like you can attend the school online, but okay. It's an international school. So people literally come to that school from about 33 nations. So mm-hmm. when the Lord told me to go to that school, I was like, well, I can just do it online. But he was like, no, you actually have to move there, go. So I moved 4 hours away from home and I actually went to school there for 3 years. So wow. While I was there, the Lord just introduced me to the global body of Christ. And my heart began to break for people from other nations, like getting to know them and getting to know, you know, who they were and how the situation was for people there and how people were being persecuted. And we take, you know, Christ for granted in the West and in the United States. It's like Christianity has become this, you know, cute thing, but in other places around the world, it is not cute to be a Christian. It is not even welcome. And learning that, it broke my heart. And I learned that, you know, there are people going out to the nations and there are only about 7,000 at the time people groups that were unreached by the gospel. Well, we know in Matthew chapter 28 and also in Mark and Luke, we can read, you know, the great commission that Christ gave the church, all of his disciples to go out and make disciples until the end of the earth. And so that is pretty much, you know, when God that we know, you know, according to our human minds of when we believe that, you know, Jesus will return when all nations have heard the gospel preached. Mm-hmm. Well, I learned while I was in school that we're very close to reaching the Great Commission. It's not unimaginable. It's not unfathomable. So I then learned that, however, in missions world, only 3% of missionaries go to unreached people groups. So, or closed countries, I should say, closed countries that do not accept the gospel, that you can be killed for the gospel, only 3%. So immediately I wanted to go and be one of the 3%. I went to Israel in 2018 and I, you know, just went there to study for a couple of weeks and it was amazing But my heart broke again for these people where, you know, come from Jesus's bloodline and they don't accept Christ. They don't even know him. A lot of people don't even have New Testament Bibles. They are still waiting on the Messiah and they do not believe that Jesus is their Messiah. And I know you've been to Israel. So it's heartbreaking. So yeah. And, you know, when I came back, I was at the time I was also in some missions courses. And again, just learning that and then coming back from Israel, I was just like, I'm going. So initially I thought that I would be going to, you know, a closed country like North Africa or somewhere in Southeast Asia. And I began to interview with different missions organizations because I knew that I wanted to go under a covering of an organization or a church. But the churches that I was connected to, they weren't really doing missions like, you know, God had given me in my vision. So I began to interview with different agencies, and the one that I ended up going with, they were just loving, and they, like my mobilizer, she talked to me and met with me for a year before I actually decided to go. In my last year in seminary, God really confirmed to me that I was an educator. Like, I knew I was an educator in writing and communications, but he really put me in positions where I had to teach the Bible. So I knew that.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of that as well while you were on your trip.
Yes, that was all that the mission was about. So I was a theological educator, pretty much a college professor at a Bible college that trains ministers to go to unreached people groups in Tanzania. So yeah, I began to get, you know, different missions opportunities, and they started to send my resume out across, you know, to different stations. And this one was one of the ones that came back, and God had already given me the time frame of, you know, when I was supposed to be on the field and just some other things that I was supposed to be doing. And when I saw, you know, this message that they wanted me to come, I was like, wow. And I prayed on it and prayed on it. And I just knew that God had confirmed for me to go there to Tanzania.
Wow. That is incredible. Wow. So you just got back from Tanzania, but you were there for, because I know you sort of came, you came home over Christmas, right? And then you were, so when did you actually, how long were you in Tanzania for? Like, what was the duration of your mission trip?
So the duration was 6 months. The first mission was 3 months, and that was all that I was planning on doing from September to December. But then as soon as I got there, I just knew that God was calling me to stay. And he gave me some specific assignments there that could not be accomplished in 3 months. So I knew I needed to return. So then I came home for the month of December and then went back on January 2nd.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is incredible. And how did you, I guess, obviously you've never been to Africa, right? Prior
to that. No.
I mean, in Africa, and in all honesty, okay, I'm African. So Africa is huge. Because I know different people listen to the podcast, right? So it's huge. It's bigger than the US, so it's, you know, it's got loads of countries. So it's very diverse in terms of its, you know, like cultures across the different nations. And also kind of very diverse in the way things are split up between north, south, east, west. So I'm from West Africa. Tanzania is East Africa, I believe.
Yes.
East Africa, completely different culture. So I can't, I haven't been to Tanzania before. I know my mom's been to Kenya, and I've seen obviously things, and you know, East Africa, and I know things are completely different culture wise. So just even me putting myself in those shoes, I'm like, this is completely, everything is different. Food, dressing, language, mannerisms, everything's completely different. So I'm even thinking, for you coming from your background, you've never been to Africa, it's, you know, everything's different for you. You're not going on a holiday, you're going on a mission trip. You're living there for, how did you sort of, I guess, make the adjustments? Because I'm assuming there were obviously adjustments, you know, you have to make, even though God sent you on the mission, doesn't mean that everything's going to be like, you're just going to love it straight away, or then no changes you need to make. How did you sort of embrace those changes or, you know, obstacles when they sort of came your way?
So funny thing, you know, my post on social media, like everyone posts, they all look so happy. And, you know, I was happy. However, it was a challenge, especially when I first got there. The way that I made the adjustment, honestly, the Lord is so amazing. He put me with people who literally, oh my gosh, Adia, they surrounded me with love. Like they like overwhelmed me with love. It was like, if I was laying down, it was like blankets and blankets and blankets of love. And, yeah. And it's crazy because when I got home last week, I just remembered a prophecy that I had received when I first went to my seminary program. And this girl, she said, the Lord wants to show you, the Lord wants to woo you with his love. And he wants to show you that he's not like all the rest. And that was in 2017. And I tell you that the fulfillment of that was me coming back from Tanzania, realizing that the Lord really showed me his love through his, through the people there. So that was made it so much easier because everything in Tanzania, I lived in a village and this is a village where some people live in mud houses, where some people don't have running water or electricity. You know, everyone, most people are in poverty. Extreme poverty. A lot of people are successful because there are some business people and most of them are teachers. I was in a village where the college campus was a Bible college. So, you know, they're not everyone is, you know, not able to feed themselves, but a lot of people weren't able, you know, it was hard. So it was very difficult not having things like running water and electricity. Sometimes if the wind blew too much, our electricity went out, our internet went out. However, it wasn't like, you know, it could have been worse. It could have been, and when I say worse, I mean worse for me in terms of, you know, not being able to manage. I don't mean like worse in terms of the society. Now, the village itself was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful place. The people were amazing. And that was how I was able to make it.
Yeah, it looked like they're always full of joy and you're always learning something new and, you know, kind of having fun. And they were teaching you about their culture as well as things went on. So, it looked like you had a great time. What would you say are the key things you learned from that mission trip?
Oh, honestly,
there's probably a lot. You can limit it to three or something.
Okay, I'll try to limit. I think the first thing was, you know, what does it mean to really worship God and love God, and what does it mean to love people? Here, you know, we talk about love and relationships and let's build community and let's do life together, but we are not relational people in the West. They are relational. So I learned like what it really, really means to be relational, what it means to like do life with others. You know, there's not a day that I could sit in my house alone. Normally at least 10 people will come to my house and they don't knock. They say, Hodi, Hodi, which means knock in Swahili. So I would get at least 10 Hodis a day. So I would say love, you know, love of God. And what does it mean to like worship God and truly like be committed in your faith? And then two, how, you know, what does it truly mean to love people and to serve them? Honestly, if you read the book of 1 John, it talks about how love is laying down your life for your friends, you know, laying down your life for others. Even in the Gospels, Jesus says that. And I really saw what that meant there. Yeah, those two things.
Wow, that is incredible. As you're saying that, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, gosh, I really need to look at things again, because I think ever so often, you know, we get reminded of things in life, and sometimes the things we think are important sometimes are not the important things, because you know how we're living in the world and the world tells you something else, but you need to constantly keep your mind and keep your eyes set on the word, because that is where we should be living from. That is our source.
Exactly.
As you were saying that, I was laughing because I was reading something about it was a book written like many years ago, and somebody had posted it on Instagram, and it was kind of about, it was, I think it was called How to Be a Nigerian or something. And she'd screenshotted like a bunch of different you know, things from it. And she was saying how nothing's changed. And one of them was the sort of like unannounced visit. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, that's actually normal growing up. But I'm thinking to myself, someone's coming to my house. And I was like, you have to call me, you have to tell me. But it was pretty normal to just have, you know, visitors come to your, you know, come to your house. And that's normal. And I was just saying how the standard thing was when you were cooking, you always cooked for more than the number of people in your household, mm-hmm. because the idea is that people come and they would eat and, you know, all of that. So I think that's a kind of universally African thing as well. So great chatting to you. I know we've discussed a number of things, but like now you're back, because I know maybe to give, I know I mentioned in the beginning to give some people a bit of sort of insight. So we actually recorded this podcast a while ago. I'll say maybe 2-3 months ago, while Natasha was actually in Tanzania. We tried to do it as we are doing it now, but, you know, as she mentioned, limitations with the internet, etc. It was working, like we could speak to each other sometimes, but it just wasn't connecting the way we were trying to do this live now. So Natasha had sort of, I'd sent over some questions, she'd done it, and but it just wasn't as, it's always great having a more fluid conversation so that we can talk about anything and kind of take it in the direction it's going. So that was our little experience last time. So I'm really glad we got this time to really catch up together and talk about your mission experience and how all of that was. And now you're back, so I'm sure you're in reflective mode and you're probably missing everyone. Mm-hmm. And all. So I guess what next? I know this is one of these questions I get as well sometimes, but like, what is, you're back from your mission trip, you know, you're probably just resting and meeting your family and all those things. But what is kind of, I guess, next for you? Like what in the mission trip has sort of changed your perspective on life moving forward?
Yeah, so I'm actually like at full steam ahead already. Like immediately I just was like, let's get to work. So again, I mentioned the We Who Dwell community, just building that faith community, We Who Dwell, and I'm serving and teaching there, and you know, getting reconnected with my church and also writing some books. So I want to share, if I can, I have a book coming out. A book coming out about all these experiences and just how we can learn the heart of God through simplicity. And it's called The Absence of Excess. So that'll be out soon.
Sounds like, yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you. And then also, I'm still working with some of the students. We're putting together an anthology of their stories. Like, if I want people to meet them, because they have survived like so much to follow Christ and to evangelize to their nation. So again, I just think that if people heard their stories, they would be so inspired to really follow the Great Commission. So we are working on a book together also. So those are the few things that I'm doing. And of course, I still have some authors that I'm working with in the U.S., helping them get their books out, but really just, you know, storytelling and telling God's stories as a communicator for Christ.
Awesome. And this is one of my favorite questions, because I love asking people that have been. So obviously you mentioned you went to Israel in 2018. Mm-hmm. What would you say? Because I'm like, every Christian should go to Israel.
Yes.
I don't know what you're thinking about why you haven't done it. But what would be your, and that's like my heart's home. But what would be your, you went to Israel. How do you find it? Do you love it? You going back? What's your thoughts on like ensuring, or, you know, Christians going to Israel? And did it change your life in terms of the way you look at the word?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like living the word when you go there and just walking through like Capernaum and near the Sea of Galilee and like picking up the sand, knowing Jesus walked there. It's amazing. Every Christian should go. And yes, I do want to go back. And I think, you know, being in Africa made me realize how important the pictures, the memories, the stories from Israel are, and how, you know, when we go there, we really need to connect them with the Bible. So my goal now is to actually go back into a lot of my archives from Israel and use them as I teach about the Bible and show the places and tell the stories of, you know, the Bible and also like me and what I saw there. So I want to, you know, encourage people to go there. And I think that I'll begin to do that more now that I have an opportunity out of school, out of the mission field, and just do that through teaching.
Awesome. Great.
Thanks.
Well, it's great having you on. Maybe as sort of a closing or semi-closing, because I'll ask you to do something just before you leave. But what do you want to leave people with in terms of just, you know, thinking about, you know, talking about winning and just sharing stories from winning women and just really winning through, like, you know, taking that step of doing what you needed to do. So what would you leave people with to sort of encourage them to go out and win?
Yeah. So honestly, for me, winning always looks like what you say and what you share and what you write and the story you tell with your life. I realized that the stories that we share determine the doors that we walk through. So if we are sharing stories of doom and gloom and negativity, then our life, we're going to sort of attract that. But if we have a life of faith and we're sharing stories of inspiration, encouragement, how God brought us through, it's going to open more doors for us to do the same. And so I would just say to really identify and pinpoint the most important stories of your life and begin to share them as much as possible. And watch doors open for you that will allow you to win.
Awesome. That is excellent. And last question is, how can we follow you, stay connected to you? How can people, if somebody's interested in, like, you know, I know you have a publishing company, if they're interested in working with you, how do they hear about all of that?
Yes. So if you visit Natasha, N-A-T-A-S-H-A, Natasha T. Brown. com, you can find everything there. But I'm also on social media. Instagram is like my favorite social site as well. Now it's weird because I like Facebook a lot too. So I'm Natasha T. Brown on Instagram, and that also has links to all of my companies and nonprofits and things like that. So yeah, follow me on Instagram and visit natashatbrown.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, make sure you do that. And if you're interested in taking that step of publishing your book or, you know, anything that Natasha does that she can help you with, make sure you get in touch with her now. Do not hold back. Like, do it now.
Thank you.
Move ahead. So thank you, Natasha. It's been great having you on. Really appreciate it and all the stuff you're doing. I just, you know, I know that God's hand is all over everything. So it's just, I'm just loving seeing it blossom and, you know, looking back probably a few years from now and seeing what it would be and all the lives you would touch and, you know, lives you have touched already and seeing what they become. So it's just incredible. So thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I'm sure we'll have you on another time. But yeah, really, really want to thank you for, you know, coming on the Adia Talks podcast, and take care. Enjoy the rest of the year and this relaxing time we are in right now. And all the best.
Thank you. God bless you.
Take care.
Bye.
So people, thank you so much for stopping by this podcast. I hope you found our interview with Natasha inspiring. I hope it just triggered something in you. It gave you a new lease of life, you know, just being inspired by all her, you know, experiences really and everything she's been through and even her recent missions trip. It just really, for me, stirred me on. So I really hope it did the same for you. You know, what is that thing that God has placed on your heart, has told you to do that just seems out of your comfort zone or seems impossible? I encourage you to just like stretch out and do it and just start to actually even explore that with him and ask questions and, you know, go deeper in that. So yeah, I hope you found it useful. Natasha talked about ways you can follow her. So I encourage you to follow her publishing company, Elohai, as well. For those of you who want to write books, get stuff done, you know, this is the time to do so. So I encourage you to follow her, follow us as well on social media. We are on Adia Talks Community on Instagram. channel that slightly changed. It used to be a Dear Talks Reel, but it's now a Dear Talks community on Instagram because that's who we are. Likewise, on Twitter and Facebook, we are Dear Talks, so you find us there. If you are a female Christian looking for a group to, you know, to pray with, basically, to pray with, to kind of be encouraged by, like, a group just on fire for the Lord that, you know, will help to kind of give you tools and, you know, things and opportunities to really press in, then you want to join our Idea Talks prayer room on Facebook. And we have something quite exciting coming up, but I can't talk about it just yet. But yes, so Idea Talks prayer room on Facebook for ladies only. Sorry, guys. So yeah, I encourage you to plug into all of those things. Follow us as well, as I've mentioned. Next week, we have one more, the last in this specific season of our She Wins series coming up. So be excited to share that with you and let you know who the special guest is next week. And then we will, we'll come back with that series. But that would be a slightly different time because we have some more stuff planned regarding that. But yes, I hope you enjoy this. If you are new again to this podcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to the previous She Wins episodes we had, and also listen to previous episodes of the podcast. There will be definitely something there for you. We talk about things that really God lays on our heart and things that are just practical things for life, and giving you some thoughts about certain things, etc. So thank you again for stopping by. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And before you actually leave, before we part, do something. I want you to please share this episode or this podcast with a friend or two so that we can just keep on sharing, you know, the wonderful gems we get on this podcast with others, tell more people about it, etc. So why not just do that with a friend or two or even more? All right, guys and ladies, thank you very much. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.